chapter 10, and this is a great chapter to help identify the mother. And that's where I was cut off yesterday. Jeremiah chapter 10, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." Now watch this. This is over 600 years before the Lord Jesus Christ is even born. "For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not." Do you know of anyone around the December time frame? Right around December, the end of December, middle of December, that go into a tree, into a forest to cut down a tree and to fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. That sounds like a tree stand to me. Then they deck it with silver and with gold. Of course it sounds like the pagan Christmas tree. So understand something. When folks today, forget about the unsaved people. Forget about the people who don't know any better. I'm talking to you. Quit blaming everyone else. Look at your own self. If you're listening to this message and you are a King James Bible believing child of the Most High God, when you set up that Christmas tree at Christmas time, in which, by the way, when Christmas gets here, according to the world, I'll show you when the Lord Jesus Christ was really born. He wasn't born in December, but from the scriptures alone, we can tag and peg where he was born, within 2 weeks anyways. Can never get the day. Scriptures will not give you the day. They'll give you within 2 weeks. But anyways, when you set up that Christmas tree, you remember something, that in the Old Testament, these pagans and these heathen were setting up these green trees, and at that time, the gifts underneath those trees as they offered to the gods and to Moloch, as they sliced the throat of their firstborn child and put it underneath that tree as a gift, and then burn that child in sacrifice unto Moloch. Do you understand? So when you bend the knee to go get that gift out, Satan, the accuser of the brethren, is mocking God Almighty and pointing to you and saying, look at that ignorant child of God who I have deceived into doing what they were doing in the times of Jeremiah and before that and even after that. Do you understand? The mother will trick you. Now, you can disagree till you're blue in the face. All right, verse 5. "They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born." That's why they carry them out. Thank you, honey. They carry them out. Here's my tea for my throat. I'm yakking too much. You know, I yak all day teaching. I'm sorry, when I go to work, I yak all day, yelling at people for various reasons. I come home and teach and yak. I'm constantly yakking. Am I yakking, honey? Am I always yakking? She said yes. "They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born." They have to be carried because they cannot go. "Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil." Watch this. "Neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain. For as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms there is none like unto thee." But watch this. "But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities." You know, only God can take words in such short order, because of course, when he can just take words and say something so profound in such few words. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. The stock, that's a wood, a hunk of wood that you made your little tiki statue. It's a doctrine of vanities. "Silver spread into plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen and of the hands of the founder." Notice all the material wealth associated with this Baal worship. "Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men." That feels good. "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide his indignation. Thus shall ye say unto them, the gods, small g, that have not made the heavens and the earth, Even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He hath made the earth by his power. He hath established the world by his wisdom and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. You know, the mother hates hearing verses like that. When he uttereth his voice, God, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasures. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Okay? Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. So much for the mother, eh? And all the things that she would have man do in the worship of all these idols and images. Listen, yes, that's still going on today. And I have to point out some things. Mark it down. Stay with me through all these classes. Because it's not what you're thinking. All this Old Testament foundational stuff is to show you that, yes, that worked in the time of Israel's literal physical appearance on the earth when God was dealing with them as a nation. Now, of course, Israel is still on the earth. What's happening today is so far more subtle and deadly that you will just be amazed when we get to the New Testament of what's happening today. All right, Jeremiah chapter 11, look at verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 11, look at verse 9. And the Lord said unto me, a conspiracy is found among the men of Judah and among the inhabitants of Jerusalem. They are turned back to the iniquities of their forefathers, which refused to hear my words, and they went after other gods to serve them. The house of Israel and the house of Judah have broken my covenant which I made with their fathers. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken unto them. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods, cry unto the gods unto whom they offer incense. But they shall not save them at all in the time of their trouble. How many times does God have to tell you that these false gods and all this Baal worship and the worship of images is stupid? For according to the number of thy cities were thy gods, O Judah. How sad is that? There's a Roman Catholic church on every street corner. There's a false Protestant church nearby. There's all these buildings you can go to. And according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, have ye set up altars to that shameful thing, even altars to burn incense unto Baal. Therefore, pray not thou for this people. Don't even pray for them. You see that? Don't even pray for Israel. Neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. What hath my beloved to do in mine house, seeing she hath wrought lewdness with many? And the holy flesh is passed from thee when thou doest evil. Then thou rejoicest. Notice the deception there. God is telling you what's really going on. When you're doing evil, you're then rejoicing. You see that? You see that complete upside down, topsy-turvy thinking? It happens every Sunday in the pulpits of America. People think they're doing right. We're going to show you. And they're actually doing evil. And they're rejoicing they're doing evil in the eyes of God. Because if the words out of your mouth are not doctrinally correct, you are doing evil. Okay, verse 16. The Lord called thy name a green olive tree, fair and of goodly fruit. With the noise of a great tumult, he hath kindled fire upon it, and the branches of it are broken. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee, for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger and offering incense unto Baal. All right, Jeremiah chapter 14. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 13. Look at this. Then said I, ah, Lord God. This is Jeremiah. Behold, the prophets say unto them, this is what the false prophets were telling Israel, ye shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine. But I will give you assured peace in this place. You see what false preachers do? Oh, everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about all that hell preaching and all that negative preaching by those Bible preachers out there. Don't worry about all that, huh? But I will give you assured peace in this place. Then the Lord said unto me, wants the answer. The prophets prophesy lies in my name. Oh my gosh. You know, all you got to do today is to see how nobody believes that verse is just start contacting all of these pastors around here. And I'm going to say something right here now. I'm going to mention one's name. Pastor Kyle of Mill Creek Baptist Church, I have sent you two emails and I called you. And I'm wanting to just ask you some simple questions and I'm being ignored. Okay? I'm a patient man. But I'm not going to be ignored and I would like you to answer some simple questions I have for you. I'm part of your listening audience when you preach on the radio and you're going to answer these questions. Or I'll just put it down that you won't answer the questions. Okay? Because, listen, the prophets prophesied lies in my name. You better believe it. If it was happening under Israel, when God Almighty was appearing unto them and sending prophets to them and manifesting forth himself through signs and wonders, you better believe it today. Because you ask all these goofy pastors out there, no, everybody agrees. We're all in unity. Everybody's fine. No, they're not. Who's, according to them, nobody's preaching a lie. Oh, that's just what they believe. You don't want to cut down what they believe. Everyone's okay. They want you all to be comfortable. Remember, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So, believe you me, it's worse today. The prophets prophesy lies in my name. Look what God says. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision of divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. Look at that. That's what they're doing. The deceit of their heart. Where's the June? The deceit of their heart. I'm looking for the June, the cat. All right, the deceit of their heart. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 16. Jeremiah chapter 16, look at verse 10. Jeremiah 16, 10. And it shall come to pass when thou shalt show this people all these words, the words of God, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? They don't even know what they did wrong. See how the mother can convince you? You'll have no clue what you did wrong. Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, here, look at this. Ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. You know, I listen to preachers on the radio a lot more now, just trying to get a pretty good idea of the local preachers around here, so when I go talk to them, I kind of know what they're thinking. There's this one preacher who said this, I believe that when Christ Jesus appeared unto Paul on the road to Damascus, it was the same time when he was being crucified. Oh, really? So he just left the torments that he was under, and he just zoomed on over to Paul on his way to Damascus and appeared to him. He left his body. What was that? Was his soul just left his body? I mean, he said that's because he believes it. What are you, a nutcase? Are you on drugs? Gosh. You walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart. When preachers start telling you, I think, you better run. It's this. What does the book say? Period. That they may not hearken unto me. That's why they do it. They don't want to listen to God. So they walk everyone after the imagination of their own evil heart. Verse 13. Therefore, while I cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers, and there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. You want to go serve them? Go ahead, serve them. Now, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Now put your thinking caps on here. Jeremiah 17, 9, in this series and in your entire life as a believer. You know, if you're having problems right now as a believer doing any of the doctrine or living a non-victorious life as a child of God, if you're having any problems at all, I guarantee you I know the answer. And it's not because I'm smart, but because I read the Bible. And God, who is wise, tells me the answer. Okay? Anytime a believer is having problems and they're not understanding how to apply the doctrine, they're not being dead to sin, they're not being dead to the law, they can't figure this out, or they don't know this, or they're fretting over this, they're careful for this, and they're all worried and crying and boo-hoo-hoo. Let me tell you what. I know this. You're going on your own thinking. You are trusting your own thinking. This, Jeremiah 17:9, is absolutely critical for you to believe at all times, not just in this series of messages, Mystery Babylon. It is critical for you to believe at all times that you're sucking air in the land of the living if you call yourself a child of God. Now look what it says with me. Don't say, well, I know the verse. Listen to me. I guarantee you this, I know the verse. I've read it a lot of times, okay? Hundreds. I've read the verse, taught it. And I'm telling you, I learn every time I teach. When I do these videos, I learn. I learn by teaching. Every time I read through the Bible, I learn even more. So what I'm trying to get you to see, if I learn every day, I think you should pay attention. Don't think you just know it. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart, that's your brain. Right here, your mind. Where you think is your heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He's not talking about the beating muscle in your chest. Okay? The heart is deceitful. Remember we talked about deceit, how dangerous it is, because when you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived. Remember how dangerous that is? A deceived person, the number one characteristic about being deceived is you don't know it. And the mother depends, the life source, the fuel, the thing that fuels the mother, the thing the mother sucks out of Scripture into her to spew out all of her doctrines, the thing that keeps the mother going, that keeps her in business, is Jeremiah 17:9. Jeremiah 17:9 feeds the mother, because without it, the mother can't function. You know, how do you not function? If I take away your breath, if someone strangles you to death, guess what happens? The body without the spirit is dead. Your spirit, your breath leaves you, you're dead. So what happens is the mother needs something to fuel her. What's going to fuel the mother and keep her doctrines being bought? Because listen, the only people who buy these doctrines are the ones who go against the Word of God. If you knew the Scriptures, you're completely safe. You're secure. Your soul is anchored in truth. You can't be moved. When you're established in the faith, you can't be tossed to and fro. You don't walk around saying, I wonder what that means, or I wonder what that verse talks about. You know it. Now, it takes a while, 3 to 4 years, to be established in the faith, but once you are, you'll abound therein. You're walking as a child of the Most High God, not some ignorant, foolish dolt who knows nothing. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart, your thinking is deceitful above. How many things? All things. Anything on this earth. The number one thing out there that will deceive you isn't the mother. She's number two. The mother who and Satan who deceiveth the whole world, they're still number two. The thing that ranks number one above all things is your own brain. Because the heart is deceitful above all things. That includes the mother, Satan who deceiveth the whole world, all of his policies of evil, everything that comes from Satan that goes right through the mother, everything that it has to do with can't do a darn thing to you until you start thinking in your brain. Because if you just think the Bible, you'll be fine. You see how simple this is? Now, what I just told you is worth more than all the gold on the earth. It is. Because it's the Word of God, and this book is more valuable than fine gold. It's to be treasured more than fine gold, it says. But this verse especially, that means this. What does that mean? Unless you can demonstrate to me in the Scriptures, proving to me from the Scriptures, correctly taught, rightly divided, the right truths for the right time period, and show me what you're thinking, you're gone. You're wrong. You're flat wrong. Look at verse 9. The heart, your thinking, is deceitful above all things. That includes the mother, Satan, and everything put out by Satan through the mother on this earth. You are your own worst enemy. And without this book, I'd be right there with you. The heart is deceitful above all things. And if that isn't bad enough, desperately wicked. It isn't even good enough to say it's wicked. It's desperately wicked. I remember a call as a policeman. I was on this young scumbag because he wanted to get some crack cocaine. He needed 10 bucks. And his grandmother, a nice old Bible-believing grandmother. How do I know that? Because there's a Bible in there next to her bed that was very well read. And I was an unsaved man when I saw this. Well, he stabs her over 80 times and kills her because she won't give him 10 bucks. You want to talk about desperate and wicked. Now, did he get a beating going down that elevator? You better believe it, he caught a beating. And too late. Statutes of limitations are over. I can't even tell you who he is. But yeah, he got whooped. He got whooped bad by all of us for doing that to his grandmother. So, that's when police work used to be police work. Now, today, oh, they got to read him his rights and do all this other garbage. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? Listen, do you know what psychology does? In psychiatry, psych is Latin for soul. It's the study of the soul. You try to figure out your own heart. I hear people when they say, oh, all you got to do is follow your heart. That is the worst advice anyone can give you. You see these Lifetime movies and everything's all nice and flowery. And they say, do you love him? Just follow your heart. The worst thing someone can tell you is to follow your heart. Because you'll wind up in the lake of fire burning. How'd your heart work out for you then, huh? Didn't work out too good, did it? Follow your heart. I don't follow my heart. I have a mind. I have a mind that functions. I have a sound mind. Although people think I'm mad, which is crazy, I'm not mad. I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Because my mind is saturated with this book, and that's what I follow. You start following your own thinking, you are doomed. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is critical for you to believe and accept and embrace and love the fact that God Almighty has just told you the real deal when it comes to your heart. Okay? It's of no value. That's why in Romans 6, he crucifies your flesh. You see that? That's here. That's that old man. He kills it. He doesn't want to have anything to do with it because it's been poisoned by sin. Okay, hope you got that. What time are we in? 24 minutes, praise the Lord. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 19. Let's now look at verse 1. Jeremiah 19:1. Thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people, and of the ancients of the priests, and go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee, and say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth his ears shall tingle. Why? Because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense in it unto other gods, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with the blood of innocents. Innocents, little children killed for their sacrifices. I'll tell you. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. And if you remember back in chapter 7, he refers to the same passage. He says, neither came it into my heart. And here he says, neither came it into my mind. That's how I know your heart is your mind, because God tells me it is. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that this place shall no more be called Tophet, nor the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of slaughter. That's horrible. Verse 12 in the same chapter. Thus will I do unto this place, saith the Lord, unto the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city as Tophet, and the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses of the kings of Judah shall be defiled as the place of Tophet, because of all the houses upon whose roofs they have burned incense unto all the host of heaven, and have poured out drink offerings unto other gods. drink offerings unto other gods. I assure you, when my wife brought me this tea, as she does every evening and every morning, I thank my father for this tea, and I thank her too. It's not a drink offering unto a god, another god. It's thankful to my father. So just point these things out here. Jeremiah chapter 25. Jeremiah chapter 25, verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 25, look at verse 8. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words. Let me tell you something. The worst thing you can hear, starting off and sentencing you or pronouncing anything against you. Okay? I remember when I stood there in federal court and the judge said, Mr. Richling, I'm going to sentence you to the maximum. You know, everything after that I knew was not good. There was no way anything after that was going to be good. Now, who would have ever thunk it? Well, I had been reading the Bible for about a year up to that point then. I wasn't established fully, but I had enough in me to say, well, praise the Lord, I'm going to go there and do a prison ministry. And there's saved people to this day because of it. But it wasn't easy. Lord got me through it. Here, look here, back here, verse 8. Because ye have not heard my words. That's horrible. Behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them and make them an astonishment and an hissing and perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the sound of millstones and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. You see that description in verse 10? The voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone, and the light of the candle. Go with me to Revelation. It's so familiar sounding to me. Revelation chapter 18. Look at this. Verse 22. Talking about the mother. And the voice of harpers and musicians and of pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever crafty be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. Thy sorceries, the mother got every nation on the planet deceived. Sounds familiar? It was going on back here in Jeremiah. You see that? So don't just point and say it's Roman Catholicism today. I'll explain that when we get there. Yes, that is the biggest hammer the mother uses. But it's the mother is that great city. Okay? And her policies go beyond Roman Catholicism. It's worse than that. Okay? Jeremiah chapter 27. Jeremiah chapter 27, look at verse 1. Jeremiah, let me get a sip of tea here. Jeremiah 27, look at verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes, and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Odom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which come to Jerusalem, unto Zedekiah king of Judah, and command them to say unto their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which shall not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword and with the famine and with the pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, watch this, hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. You notice what all the preachers were saying. Don't serve the king of Babylon. God said, don't hearken unto those stupid preachers, for they prophesy a lie unto you. Oh, so it's possible that preachers can prophesy a lie. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, those will I let remain still in their own land, saith the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell therein. Self-explanatory. 29. Chapter 29, look at verse 8. Chapter 29, verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams, which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. So it is very possible. Listen, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 15:4 that the things which were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. What can we learn from here? That Bible teachers can lie to you. Do you got it? The mother does it every day. Every day in every single stinking Catholic, Protestant, any type of Jewish synagogue, anything you want, they do it every day of the week and pull everybody in. But oh, you don't think that's true. And I'm just mean and picking on everybody. Well, we'll see. There's a day coming. You know what comforts me greatly? There's a day coming where we're all going to know what truth was and is and will always be. That's why I rest so peacefully. I'm standing on this book and every word in it. And if you're standing on your brain, you have trouble. Big trouble. Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. Look at verse 33. Jeremiah 32, look at verse 33. And they have turned unto me the back and not the face. Look at how bad Israel got. Though I taught them. Is that? That breaks my heart. God's own people, who he formed, that nation which he brought into existence. He's saying they're turning their back unto me, not the face, though I taught them. Rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. The Apostle Paul says the same thing about believers today. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine. You know what amazes me? And that brings up an excellent point. All you believers out there, or whatever you are, maybe you're a non-believer, all you folks enamored by Mystery Babylon, I can tell the ones who are going to get established, the ones who understand what's really going on, you should go to WSLMradio.com and get the radio archives. Because that teaches the Bible verse by verse. This is sort of like a great topical study to study Mystery Babylon. But the ones who understand how important the scriptures are in sound doctrine will get established in the base in the faith, established in the faith. Verse by verse by verse, starting where God commands you to start. That's why when Mystery Babylon is done, I'm going to put it on YouTube, the entire school, starting in Romans 1 again. Because some people are visual. Some people don't go to the radio. So I will do everything I can. I will spend and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved sometimes, Paul says. But as I put it on YouTube, perhaps because it's in video, you'll listen. But I know, I've done this long enough. This is the first time I've done ministry. This is the first time I put it on the internet. That when you start teaching sound doctrine, okay, sound Bible doctrine, people always want to be thrilled. And the next thrill and entertain. They want to get an emotional charge. If the doctrine doesn't emotionally charge you, you're never going to get it. Be excited that there's school And it's each lesson, one after the other, to diligently establish it, because that's what's going to keep your soul safe. This is great. I'm glad you're here. But guess what? You need to go to there or wait patiently until after. But either way, get established in the faith. And it only takes place in sound doctrine. So, again, verse 33. And they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them. Yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name. But they set their abominations in the house which is called by my name to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. That's horrible, huh? It's a time check. Okay. Jeremiah chapter 44. Now, watch how bad it gets. Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah chapter 44. This is how bad it gets. This is how the mother has tricked them. The word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdal and at Tahpanhes and at Noph and in the country of Pathros, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger, in that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods, whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. I mean, how much simpler? You notice when God speaks, it's simple. Oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. And they are wasted and desolate as at this day. See, that was a physical sign that you could determine that God was against you, because the streets were waste and desolate. Guess what? Guess what? It's worse today because Satan has got it today through the mother that you think everything's fine. And you're comfortable in your home and everything's going swimmingly. You go to church and play church every Sunday. And you're worse than Israel. Verse 7, Therefore now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls? You see, when you sin, you're committing a great evil against your soul. Your individual soul. He's talking to the nation, that's why it's plural here. But wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, and that ye provoke me unto wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whither ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humbled even unto this day. Neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest, by the sword and by the famine. And they shall be an execration. Woohoo! That don't sound good. An execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. You see, God was getting their attention through physical problems on the planet. The mother today will keep you comfortable. So that none, see, because when you reject God's book today, he isn't going to deal with you in a physical manner as an unbeliever, even as a believer, unless you're sinning. You'll just start to get sick, maybe weak, sickly, and die if you're sinning. But he's not going to wipe out your neighborhood and things like that in the streets you live in. And then you'll go to the doctor, and doctor tell you, well, you got cancer, and you'll think that, well, it's just the lot I got. You don't even think you know where it's coming from. So that none of the remnant of Judah, that's if you're a believer who's walking after the flesh, you're living after the flesh, okay? What time is it? 41 minutes. For I'll punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall escape or remain, that they should remain into the land of Judah to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there, for none shall return but such as shall escape. Then all the men which knew, watch this, then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah saying, now, what did God just get done telling them about all the horrible things that are going to happen to them because they didn't hearken unto him? They heard it. They understood it clearly. And watch what they say. Look, you want to talk about total outright rebellion. Answered Jeremiah saying, verse 16, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, so they knew what Jeremiah was saying was the Bible. They knew it was the word of God. We will not hearken unto thee. At least you knew where they stand. Huh? We will not hearken unto thee. But watch what they're going to do. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth. We're going to listen to whatever's coming out of our own mouth, right? Because it's coming out of our brain to do this. To burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. The Queen of Heaven. Over 600 years before Christ is born. And the Roman Catholic Church today worships the Queen of Heaven. Where do you think they got that title from? To burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. As we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then, when we worshiped this Queen of Heaven, for then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. You know why they say that? This is how stupid they became. They said, when we were burning incense unto the Queen of Heaven, we had it good. But since we stopped doing that, now we have all these problems. You know, they forget the law of the harvest. When you go out and plant corn seed, like my wife and I have done the past 2 years, way too much of it, but when you plant corn seed, you don't immediately get a crop the next morning. So when Israel was doing all this sin, the crop had not come in yet. So then they stopped for a while, and then the crop came in, and they're actually blaming, and they're so stupid, they're blaming the fact that we quit sinning, and it's really not we're reaping what we're sowing, but as soon as we left off to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, then we had all these problems. You're not comprehending it. That's the harvest you put in time it just months ago. Now you're reaping a harvest for it. Stupid. And when we, verse 19, and when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Oh my gosh. Where were the men in them days? Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not into his mind? You see the law of harvest kick in? He remembered it. Here comes the harvest. So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which ye have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as at this day. Because ye have burned incense, past tense, and because ye have sinned against the Lord, past tense, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, past tense, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies. Therefore, this evil, the law of the harvest, is happened unto you as at this day. They can't even remember the simple law of the harvest. That you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. It takes time. Verse 23, because ye have burned incense, and because ye have sinned against the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies, therefore this evil has happened unto you as at this day. I'm amazed. Can't even remember that. They're not even good farmers anymore. Verse 24, moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Yeah, you're going to do it all right. You see, back then they were just flat saying, we're going to worship the queen of heaven. We reject the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Reject it. Today, people all think they're worshiping the God of the Bible. They're not. That's how the mother's got you tricked today. Therefore, hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord. You know the Lord is very, very serious right here. I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, I love this, my father, I love your book. Look at this. Shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs? Is he the best? Is God the best of everything? You're going to know whose word shall stand, God says. Shall surely, look at this. Shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. Do you really want to fight against the Bible? Do you really want, you know, to the morons out there who don't like what's being taught here at the Scriptures Alone Bible School, I'm going to laugh one day. Because we'll see whose word shall stand, this book or your brain. And this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that you may know that my word shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies, and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. You see this book? Y'all see it? Take a look at it. See it? The Holy Scriptures. Y'all got that? This book is going to stand, not your brain. So you got to pay attention, because Mystery Babylon, the mother, she's got practically everybody deceived. And the whole world is deceived.